Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, August 19th, 2018, Pastor Paul Tolbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Consider carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise people. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, which causes you to lose control. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. By speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord. By always giving thanks for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These words are from God's heart to us. It's interesting to always pay attention to how God gave them to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, my dear friends and fellow believers, these words were taught to one of the Lord's chosen men by the name of Paul. He used to be a guy by the name of Saul who went around killing Christians because he thought he was doing God a favor, and God would pat him on the back and let him into heaven early. But that was all changed when God appeared to him and turned Saul's world upside down and said, "Saul, what are you doing? You're fighting against me." And Saul says, "Well, who are you?" He says, "I'm Jesus." Crucified and risen Jesus was talking to him. Well, that turned his whole world upside down. The Lord shut off his eyes for 3 days and then sent someone to restore his sight. That started a lifetime ministry of the Apostle Paul not being able to keep quiet. He was always noisy, always telling people about Jesus, all the time, all the time. But not doing it in an obnoxious way, doing it in a way so that he would win people into heaven. He didn't want to set up a roadblock to keep people out of heaven. He wanted to get them in. He wanted to get them connected to Jesus Christ. All right, so that's the first thing I remember whenever I read one of Paul's letters. The other thing I remember is that this man, with so much joy and confidence, wrote most of his letters from prison. Most of his letters were written under a guard, in chains. Most of his letters were written far away from his friends and family. And yet this is the same man who says, always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I have planted my Christians in the city of Ephesus. That culture of Ephesus is dedicated to Satan. They want to drag people to hell. The people don't even know they're in danger. So I sent my word there, and I planted my people there. And then he said to the Apostle Paul, pick up your pen. I need for you to write them my words, and I'm going to teach you what those words are. And part of those words come up in chapter 5. Consider carefully then how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise people. Wow. How do you do that? To walk as wise people, you and I trust. First of all, we trust God's plan for us. That's the first thing. Then we trust God's warnings, and then we trust God's gifts. And that's all there in just this little section here. Consider carefully how you walk. You trust God's plan. What is God's plan? God's plan is for me, Paul Tolbert, to get to heaven. Oh, God's plan for you, insert your name, is to get you, insert your name, to heaven. He wants that to happen. So you are here hearing his word because he wants you to know, yes, I know you're a sinner. Yes, I know you have failed me again and again. Yes, I know that you deserve nothing, and you know that. I have revealed that to you in my word, But you need to also understand that I love you so much. I came down and lived in your place. I know what it's like to have friends betray you. My closest buddies, all 12 of them ran away. The one who said he'd stick by me through thick and thin, cursed and swore that he didn't even know I existed. And the guy that was my dear friend betrayed me and turned me over to be killed. I know what it's like to hurt. That's what God says. But it's not just about hurting. I took all of those sins, even the sins of the betrayer, the sins of everyone who's ever left me. I took all of those sins and I paid for them with my lifeblood on the cross. There's not a single thing that you have done that I have not already covered with my lifeblood. Trust me in this. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Satan's going to try and pick up his finger on the last day and shake it at us and say, oh, I know you. And God's going to say, put a lid on it and get out of my presence because this is my child. I adopted my child through the washing of holy baptism. I have grown my child with my word. I promised my child that I would get my child safely into paradise. And so my son came back to life again, and he said, done deal. You and I are going home to heaven. And it really irritates Satan, because there's not a thing he can do to stop that. So we go back again and again and again to his word, because we are in a culture very much like the Ephesian culture was. The Christians that are living in Ephesus were surrounded by people who didn't know who the true God was. If they did know who the true God was, they could care less who the true God was. They spit their nose at him. They hated Christians. They did not understand a single thing that God was saying in his word. It was total darkness. They were blind, self-blinded. How in the world are you going to reach them? The Lord tells his Christians, this is how you do it. Consider carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. That tells me as a Christian, God knows. God knows my culture is very much like the Ephesian culture. God knows in my culture, they're elevating homosexuality and lesbianism. Just like in the Ephesian culture. In my culture, they are elevating killing babies. That was just like they did in Ephesus. In my culture, they're elevating those people who go out and get drunk and get away with it. Just like they did in Ephesus. In my culture, they are elevating people who hate authority and try to rebel against authority. That's just like in Ephesus. In my culture, when you show true godly love for another human being, it is always twisted and they think you're trying to do something crazy or something. We have the same culture. It is living in a sinful world dominated by Satan, captured and blinded and ignorant. So what do? You do what Jesus does for us. He takes his word and he gives it to them. He says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, which causes you to lose control. We are aware of the warnings that God has put out there, and we trust his warnings. We trust his warnings. You know, as you're driving here in the highway and it's all being ripped up, if I do not trust those warnings, I'm just going to go plowing right through those signs. And it's going to be me against a huge, huge earth-moving machine, and I'm going to lose. So I trust the warnings. Oh, someone must know what they're doing, putting up those barrels, putting up those little things, telling me to stay on one side. Someone must know what they're doing. God knows what he's doing. We're living in a world that says, no, God doesn't know what he's doing. God does not know what he's doing. If God knew what he's doing, he would know that there's 73 sexes, not just two. If God knew what he's doing, he would know it would take billions of years for life to come into existence, not just 6 days for all of Earth to be created and all their wonders. If God really, really, really was there, he would know that, oh, marriage has kind of evolved as a good thing in society to make sure that it's more stable. But if you read your Bibles, you'll find out the truth. Marriage is the one gift that God let us take out of the garden. Cool thing. Marriage is blessed by God. It's not a curse. Marriage is to be honored, not made fun of. And we live in a culture that is constantly defying God and his warnings. And what happens? Well, the culture goes from bad to worse. And our children will say, man, you lived in those days? That was the good old days. And it goes from bad to worse. And it will keep on going from bad to worse until the Lord says, it's time. And he wraps up everything that he created and throws it all away except for souls. Those souls will be in one of two places. Either in heaven with him or outside of heaven, being tortured like Satan. By God's grace, you and I know where we're going to be. We are going to be in heaven. Not because we're so good, not because we're sitting in your church this morning. That's not why we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven because God in his great love loved us before we even knew what love was. He loved us when we were shaking our fists at him, trying to keep him on the cross. He loved us, died for us, and came back to life for us. Now, there's going to come times in your life where you're going to say, yeah, well, that, I remember that in confirmation class, but I don't know. I trashed my life. My sin is way too big. When you run into people like that, or if you yourself are struggling with something like that, remember God's great love. Because he lived for you, and he died for you, and he came back to life for you before you were even born. Right outside of Jerusalem, on a cross, just like he prophesied. To walk wisely, trust God's plan, to walk wisely, trust God's warnings, and then trust God's gifts. God has given you incredible gifts. I don't know what gifts he has specifically given to you because all I see is the outside. All I can tell is from the outside. But I know that you each have at least one gift. How do you know that, Pastor? I don't think I have any gifts. Well, I'm telling you how I know. Because God says in his word that he freely gave his gifts, plural, to his people. So I'm looking at God's people. I'm looking at a room packed full of incredible souls that God has chosen to bring together this morning to hear his word so that you know not to get discouraged in this world, but to continue walking wisely, trusting that God's plan, as he was revealed in his word, is there. Trusting that God has warnings set up in place not to keep you from having fun, but to make sure you really enjoy life now and forever. And God has given you gifts. So grab hold of them and use them. If you are a child here today, you need to pay attention now. So parents, make sure you go like this to your kids. Pastor's going to talk to you now. Yeah. If you're a child, I want you to understand, I have a gift for you today. I'm going to give it to you after church, after everyone's all shook hands and everything like that. And all those adults are up here talking to each other. Find me. I'll leave my robe on a little bit longer. It's easier to find a white robe, you know. And you find me, and you're getting a gift. And I'm going to make sure you have a gift. Because I want you to take this gift and enjoy this gift. That's why God gives us gifts. God doesn't need our gifts. God gives us gifts so that we can enjoy them and help others. So in Jesus' name, that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk wisely this week. We are going to trust God's plan for us, even though we don't quite figure it out because we're not God. We are going to trust God's warnings that he's put in place, and we are going to trust and use God's incredible gifts. Or like the Apostle Paul was told to write, always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.